another February.
How they always want to feminize the black man. And
But it's even worse now. I'm seeing it Charlize Theron. I love her. She's a great actress. I don't love her. She's a good actress. Mm-hmm. But she's done one of those deals.
The BBL?
No, she fucking adopted a black boy, and now he's dressing as a white girl.
You know, a lot of there's Angelina Jolie, there's Madonna. A lot of these celebrities are doing it.
It's evil.
It is, yeah. Because Madonna.
It's evil.
I saw Madonna hooked up. She had her and her daughter hooked up to IVs, and she was getting a blood transfusion from her daughter because they know how good the melanin is. They know how rich our blood is or whatever. So I think they're kind of doing some sick stuff with these black babies, whether it's blood transfusion, trying to get melanin on the celebrity level. I don't know about the common American working citizen level, but on the celebrity level, they're doing some weird shit with those black kids.
And it's weird. If you saw a black couple with a white 5-year-old boy, and he's got lace front and a BBL and long eyelashes and heels, they'd be like, what the fuck is going on over there?
The reason that I defeat's cause you sleep weak and I'll power now. 48 hours I'm running on fumes like a Drake diss, man, I'm back to back. No friends, ain't got your back, that's a chiropractor. Though it's classical, like a musical.
People meeting people, making memories. Welcome back to the Lunch Table Podcast, ATX. I call it the Lunch Table Podcast, ATX, because when I was in school, the time I feel I could be myself and I can speak candidly and open was during the lunch, you know? I have no one looking over my shoulder. I just could be me. So, hence the Lunch Table Podcast. To help support the show, subscribe, shop, share, hit that link tree. We got new merch, new content. Every week. Also at jctv.com. I'm very excited about Become a Lead Star, the 8 Guidelines for Effective Communication, my new ebook. I wrote it last summer, and by applying these skills, you will improve your relationships in every aspect of your life, whether it's your mother, sister, brother, colleague, love, whomever, strangers on the street. Following those 8 guidelines, there's a pseudoscience to, you know what? I like him. You know what? I like her. I don't know. Yes, that part. So yes, Become a Lead Star. JCTV.com is where you can also get that. Meeting people, making memories. We out. In the building, we have Mr. ATX, ATL?
Mr. Tex ATL.
Mr. Tex ATL. Shit. How was your day?
Pretty great, man. Pretty great. Day's still going.
What do you do, sir? What do you do, Mr. Tex ATL?
I'm a visual artist. I do pretty much visual art. I use multiple mediums, predominantly photography and videography. That's my favorite medium.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can do so much with that. I fell in love with photography and videography through music, watching BET, all the old films, Mo Better Blues, Spike Lee.
Talk to him.
Different portrait artists, things of that nature. Just fell in love with the way it looks, the way you're able to create moods and things of that nature. And off of that, I fell in love with wardrobe, fashion, lighting, sound, just different realms of that. So visual art, that's my bag.
Copy that. How did we meet?
Man, we met on my journey doing visual art. We met at Santa Cruz Theater. Oh, man, that was an epic place. If you guys don't know about Santa Cruz Theater, man, that's 50 years of legacy history in Austin. Shout out to Azatlan Dance Company and Ryan and all of them over there.
You know what? It's no longer called
what is it? Is it
Santa Cruz Theater anymore?
Razzos? Was it?
Roscoe's Comedy Club.
Roscoe's Comedy Club.
Where do you think they got Roscoe's Comedy Club from, Mr. ATX, Mr. Tex ATL? Where do you think they had the idea to, you know what, let's make this a comedy club? Where did they get that idea from?
I could not tell you, but I remember that you commissioned me to be a photographer for some of the comedy events that you started hosting because they were
looking. Nigga, that was an alley-oop for you to say, nigga, you!
Oh, shit. All right, bet.
But goddamn, you missed it. It's all to the people. I'm sorry, listen, I gotta toot it. It was dead in the water. Nothing was going on at Santa Cruz Theater. It was nothing. I got a call from Ryan. I say, yo, let me do comedy. I had a comedy roster of individuals that I knew that were not just not just good comedians, but they could produce shows. So I reached out to, we're going to get back to you. I reached out to all the comedians and we turned that thing into a comedy motherfucking club. Each one had a day. They promoted their different show and I marketed and promoted their different show. It was a blast, man. Now it's Roscoe's Comedy Club. But yeah, that's where we met. Continue, brother.
Yeah, so we met there and it was just you contracted me to do some photography behind the scenes of the event. It was man, it was really cool to be a part of that in Austin, watching like people like Joe Rogan and things like that come here and watching the spirit of Austin like flow through you and watching you create a platform for other creatives and stuff like that. It was a real exciting thing to be a part of, man. So,
that was a really dope time, you know, what I'm saying? Shout out to all the people that, you know, we work with, all the comedians, you know. It didn't end the way I wanted it to end, but most things don't. We are not entitled to a happy ending. Yeah. I talked about that last week. We're not entitled to a happy ending, but what we do take from the experience is a blessing and a lesson.
Yeah.
Blessings and lessons, which is a new T-shirt that you can get tomorrow at jctv.com.
Yeah.
My T-shirt game is, it's all about messaging, you know? We're here to entertain, to enlighten, and to educate. Entertain, enlighten, and to educate, you know? Yeah. Having a voice of value, it's so, so important. So that's what season four is all about, voices of value and messaging. Specifically to the youth,
man,
they're getting some really horrible messaging, my boy.
Man, crazy.
I'm talking about some bad messaging, bro.
Like
it's truth.
Like implanted bad messaging. Like it's almost
talk about
like
that, brother.
Time released bad messaging. Like the bad message seed that got planted when they were in the fifth grade that comes out in like the ninth grade once they've gone through two different socioeconomic fields or so two different ecosystems, be it grammar school, middle school, and then high school. Man, bro, that is so crazy. Watching
what is
that
one right now? Messaging right now. What's one message right now that like just
blows like
yes.
Oh, being masculine is toxic or being masculine is negative. And I just find the idea of demonizing one perspective in a whole is uneducated, unsophisticated, ignorant, and just dumb for those people behind the scenes that are turning the cogs and making the machine go anyway. It's like, how could you say that one form of expression or one form of how someone is, their anatomy, their essence of who they are is wrong, and to say the latter is not. I would never say that one group or anything is one thing because of any perspective and just put it out there. It's really tough, but just, yeah, masculinity is toxic. Like it's wrong for you to feel uncomfortable in a space to where, you know, men traditionally operate.
Correct.
Like my nephew was brought into the principal's office. He's a senior in high school. He graduates this next year.
Okay.
He was pulled into the office because multiple young ladies had reported him for being a gentleman. They said that he had ulterior motives because he was opening doors for them.
Wow. No, wow.
Opening doors for them.
Wow. He was reported to the office?
Opening doors for them.
That's what we were taught to do. Pain is my passport. People meeting people, making memories. Over the past like 6-7 months, I've been listening to just voices of value, and someone inspired me to create this. He was speaking of pain. He was speaking of moving forward and progressing through different obstacles and reaching new plateaus. Pain is my passport, because without any pain, there is no breakthrough. There's no growth. So, yeah, pain is my passport. Appreciate you, Mr. Raquel.
Then when he spoke up why he was doing it, he said that's his job as a young man. And then someone felt offended because he identified as him opening the way for somebody, being a gentleman as something he identified as, putting positive energy to society. Someone was offended that he identified that, which is ironic because they identified as something different. And they were offended because he about his expression of identity. It was just,
yeah,
it's enough to make your eyes cross.
Who are you, sir? And what do you do? What are your specialties? Talk to the people.
So I am Sean Parker creatively. I am Sean Raquel.
Okay. Sean Raquel.
Yes.
All right.
I am a creative. I am an educator. I am a vocalist. I am a writer. And that's a little bit about me.
How do we meet?
How do we meet?
No. Pause. Back up. Where you from?
I am from Chicago.
How long you been in Austin?
Been in Austin since November 21. So was that 3 years?
Oh, okay. Three.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we meet?
We met at Texas Preparatory School. I came in as a substitute. Mr. Carey here, JC, was the third and fourth grade teacher. And that's what the beginning of our relationship, working relationship was.
Copy that. You say you're an artist. You got some music. Do you have anything out right now? Anything that you're working on? Anything you'd like to share?
Yes. So I have a project that is almost 10 years old. It is called Hypes and Alcoholics. It's a mixtape I came out with back in 2015.
Okay.
I've done a couple things since then, and I am working on a new project, which will be like a 10-year anniversary to Hypes and Alcoholics, but also putting myself back out there as an artist.
If the people wanted to find something that you're doing, where could they go?
I am Sean Raquel. That's SEANROCKEL on all social media platforms.
We were talking about, well, season four and moving forward just in for the show and just in general. Well, the show specifically and where I want to go. It's all about voices of value and messaging. Mm-hmm. In today's age right now, like the kids, the youth, they're getting horrible messaging. I mean, we got bad messaging, but I don't remember in interviews like them blatantly giving bad advice. Glorilla, example. Glorilla said at 45, she gonna wait till she's 45 to get married.
Crazy. Crazy. Glorilla. Crazy to speak that to the generation, bro.
She said she's gonna wait until she's 45 to get married because that's when guys really slow down and calm down on their antics. So she's going to wait until she's 45. I don't think she knows how that's going to look.
Yes, man, listen. And then you know, there's a little bit of wisdom in there, right? But then there's a little bit of like, let's call it fuckery.
Yes, man.
A little bit of fuckery in there too, because it's like, all right, man. Yeah, different people reach maturity at different levels and different times, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're in a financial situation. Being paid to mislead your people, or being paid to mislead the people, and you got all type of endorsements, sponsorships, and things of that nature. These people don't have these things that you have. They might not be able to afford to pass over their coworker that makes $50,000 a year, good credit, outstanding prospect or something like that. In 2 years, building, he'll be able to go like that. You might have the luxury to do all that. And that's not even talking about, like, how crazy that is and misleading, but just the fact of that. And then, you know, you're also setting a whole bunch of young ladies to just...
It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
Setting them
because
up.
Because when you're 45, young ladies, there's a man out there for you, but it's not going to be the man that they're looking for. Not the one that's in your head at 25. You dig? Like, when you're 25, that man, at 45, that man is not going to be there. Or you're not going to be as wanted at 45, young ladies. Come on, man. It's so unwise. Like, where's your father?
The SMV. Like she's totally obliterating and ignoring the SMV. And for those of y'all don't know what the acronym SMV means.
Educators.
Sexual market value.
Oh, yes.
Your sexual market value at 45 versus 25 is crazy. She's telling you to wait till you're 45 years old.
She said she was going to wait, but it's still kind of subliminally saying wait longer.
Wait longer, right?
Okay, but go ahead.
In a hypothetical situation, wait longer, right? Here's the trick, right? She's not going to tell you that this man is 45 years old that has this stuff together that's ready to go. When he goes out on Friday and you put on your go-get-him dress next to your 25-year-old counterpart that has the same mindset you do, right, because y'all are both, he's not going to pick Miss 45 with the high miles and the baby daddy and the da-da-da-da-da, whatever have you. And this is stereotypical, but, I mean, let's be real, though.
I'm sorry, but I have to be harsh and truthful. If you out and about, 45, 50, and you in the club and whatnot, us men, heterosexual men, we view you as a skeet box. Listen, this is raw. I don't condone it. I'm just trying to tell you how men think. 45, 50, oh, you bad? Yes, you still bad, but we know, skeet box.
I mean, skeet box. He's speaking colorfully, but I mean, yeah. he's telling the truth.
Come on, man.
He's telling the truth, though. I mean,
like, it's just, it's not the same. Bad advice. Don't wait till you're 45 until you get married. Stupid. Okay, but moving forward. JCTV, people meeting, people making memories. Welcome back to the Lunch Table Podcast, ATX. Video response. First one. Lying bitch.
Whoa. What?
For those who are listening, it's Crystal Magnum admits to faking Duke lacrosse allegations. To give you a quick little backstory, I want to say, like, back in 2012, 2013, this young lady, she wanted validation, so she lied to about three lacrosse players. She said that
I testified falsely against them by saying that they raped me when they didn't, and that was wrong. I betrayed the trust of a lot of other people who believed in me. And made up a story that wasn't true because I wanted validation from people and not from God.
That's crazy.
Pretty much, she ruined three individuals' lives. There's no coming back from those types of allegations, even if it's not true. That's the thing about that. Yeah. There's no coming back. Like, you got to move the fuck away. You got to fucking, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's still on your record, you know, but like you don't, women, men don't come back from that.
No, man.
And when they play with that, it destroys lives, man. So my question to you is, was she in shackles?
No.
Was she in jail?
No.
So, bruh. So if you were politicians and can make a particular law about lying bitches, ruining lives,
man.
What would be the punishment? Because nothing happened to her, mm-hmm. as you see. Nothing.
It looks like she's in a studio, like with hair and makeup.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. With a script and somebody like that may or may not empathize with her story, giving her courage to go ahead, tell you.
Too much makeup at that.
Yo.
Yeah, there's definitely something going on in the background. She's definitely scripted. She definitely has nothing consequentially to face moving forward after ruining the lives of others, so many others, and not just the individuals that she accused, but also their families. They're that image that goes along with that as well.
That's crazy.
Politician, though. Politician Sean Raquel. Politician Mr. Tex ATL. What should be the punishment for not being politically correct, lying bitches?
Hey, man, take it old.
No. Not just lying. Not just individuals that lie, but when they lie about that specific act, sexual harassment, sexual assault, and rape, those allegations, there's no coming back from that. It's criminal because it ruins a man's life, his finances, his his reputation, like everything. Like, yeah. It ruins everything, and the woman gets a pass, and that is completely wrong. So, politician Raquel, politician Mr. Tex ATL, what should be the punishment for these lies?
You want to go?
I would probably say, shoot, it's tough to say, but. At the very least, I say the judicial punishment associated with the crime that she falsely accused whoever for, I would say that would be the basis, and shoot, whatever is stackable on that, what is allowed. I believe, you know,
should she do time?
Go the extra mile, definitely.
Should she
go
okay.
do the time? I mean,
how much time?
Hey, look,
Mr. ATX, ATL.
I'm going to jump right in there.
Yes, how much time, right, politician?
I think it should be a mandatory decade. You should be able to miss out on like a decade of what's happening, bro, because it'll take a man 10 years to get back off of the irreparable damage that can cause just for him to like be able to get on that. But as far as direct, like, this is just spinning off of his judgment.
Correct.
Off the justice, I would say I think take it to like a biblical means, not to get all religious or whatever.
No, we could go everywhere.
For an eye for an eye, though, because I mean, if I'm
so, are you saying that girl should be raped?
No, not at all. I'm saying that if I'm shamed among my peers and publicly this and means and that, we need to systematically shame you. You need to be shamed in every aspect. You also need to be, I don't know, I would never tell anybody what they can and can't do with their body, but I would say that perhaps she might be mandated to some sort of counseling or some sort of therapeutic means or some sort of penance to where she wouldn't even be able to reproduce, get married, or be able to to do anything of that nature lawfully in this country because of the irreparable damage she's doing. Because what does she have to gain by doing that? Was it that she didn't want her homegirls to know that she was whorish, or she didn't want anybody else, the next guy that she was dating, trying to get to know that she was rocking with somebody else too? What
were you thinking?
Yeah, what was your motivation?
The goal?
What's your motivation?
I mean, she said she wanted validation. That's what she said.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
I know, right? That's it, though.
Fuck your validation. Life. Fuck your life. Fuck your life for my validation. That's some personal shit, bro.
That's wild, man.
That's some bullying shit, bro.
I mean,
and they are the biggest social.
Evaluation is definitely due as well. She need to be checked out.
What's the word? I'm so crazy. I'm so frustrated. I don't know the word. The anti-chauvinist word. What's the that's misandry. Misandry.
Yes.
He thinks that yes.
But that's lying bitch. Thank you, politician. Parker. I'm sorry, Parker. Raquel.
Yeah.
Politician Mr. Tex ATL. Let's go to the next one.
We could do a Don Ray too if it's easier.
Oh, what now?
We could do Don Ray if it's easier.
I like Don Ray.
Yeah, it's smooth. That's my stage. You know what I'm saying?
I'm tripping.
No, it's all good.
So, Mr. Tex ATL, that's his Instagram handle. So I've said like 1,000 times, follow Mr. ATL. Mr. Tex ATL. Is that TX?
Yeah, MRTEXATL.
There it is. And follow Sean Raquel at
SEANROCKEL. Sean Raquel on all social media.
Correct. Meeting people make memories. Here's the next one. People meeting people make memories. We're back. The Lunch Table Podcast, ATX. Damo in the City is back. Just came in. What's up, Damo?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Pretty great. Welcome in the building.
It's been a minute since we've been in the studio, right?
I know. It's been a minute. Welcome back. Great job, JC. I'm glad to be back.
How you been this past month? What's new? What's popping? Because I know you're working. What's popping with Damo in the City?
Damo in the City.
And Domalicious Soul Food as well.
Oh. Yeah, Domalicious Soul Food. Damo in the City has kind of been back in the city, but on a wellness spin. So I'm really going in on this full, like, becoming the best version of myself. And I'm doing Pilates. I'm doing hot yoga, eating right. I'm doing a 75 hard challenge right now.
What is that?
It consists of, well, I don't want to say too much because, like, I haven't been too, like, I'm not going to lie and say that I've done it every day, but I've been trying to be, like, just having something to kind of fall back on to hold me, like, accountable.
Okay.
But the 75 Hard Challenge consists of you drinking no alcohol for 75 days.
Uh-oh.
You also work out twice a day, one that's indoor, one that's outdoor. They're 45-minute workouts each. And then you don't eat any sugars, any carbs, and you drink a gallon of water a day.
How consistent have you been on it? What day are you on? How many days have you skipped? Can you fill in those holes for us?
I know for sure I'm working out like 2-3 times a week.
Okay.
You know, which is really awesome between hot yoga, Pilates, and the gym. Thank you.
Yes.
Doing that. And then I walk my doggies all the time. So if I walk them, then I just like take a couple of like those bands that you put on your legs and your arms, and I'll do some squats or some jumps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just to feel like I'm getting a little workout in. I also have a pole in my room, so I do a lot of pole dancing. That's considered like a daily workout.
Okay.
Core strength.
You know what I'm saying? Getting my core, my back right. And then as far as like no alcohol, I think the only time I really did it was when I drank like that was when I was with my family. It was Thanksgiving, and we went to go visit my mom's gravesite.
Gotcha.
We haven't done that in like 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Respect.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Where can they find you right quick?
You can find me if you're looking for any type of vegan soul food or if you have any dietary restrictions. My private chef page is Domalicious Soul Food Views. And then if you are interested in just keeping up with me in the city, seeing what I'm doing, whether if it's like wellness, cannabis, cooking, modeling, acting, TV hosting, or here on the Lunch Table Podcast. That'll be Damo and the City, A-N-D.
This one's called Mama's Love.
So I'm asking you, since this is not a demonstration of a man, you need to tell me what man you're using to measure him with. Which one?
My idea.
Which is your idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that the idea you trained him up to be?
No.
Oh, so how in the blazing bejesus are you holding him accountable to a standard that you didn't teach him, his father didn't give him, he don't even know what it is, and yet as his mother, you sit in his face and tell him you don't respect him as a man?
Like I said, it was events. It wasn't just...
I'm talking about...
And it's also how he treats me.
Yeah, but... You see, you are a provocative victim. You provoke stuff. And then, when you start being held accountable for it, then you start twisting and turning and making the other person wrong. Look at me, Ma. Look at me. You just sat here and told your son, who ain't got a needle in his arm, who I'm assuming pays his own rent. He's married to a registered nurse. He's got 3 baby boys. And you just sat here in his face and said, I don't respect him as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think to consider what that does to his heart, to his soul, to his spirit.
I'm sure that's hurtful.
And you okay with that?
And it's hurtful for the things that he says.
But there you go. You're doing it. You're doing it right now. You're doing it right now. I'm holding you accountable, and you're spinning your web.
You're trying to get away.
Tell me. Here's the question. Just answer it. We'll get back to that other stuff later.
Forgive me. I respect him. He's a wonderful man.
Do you understand that your mouth, your voice, your words are connected to the coils in his heart, to the vows in his heart? He can't help but love you. And every time you dishonor that love, you chip a piece of it. In our culture as black people, when the boys turn a certain age, the men come and get him and take him away from the mother because she can emotionally manipulate him. But since we don't live in our culture no more, we say what we want to say, do what we want to say, we tear our men down, and then wonder why they don't make good husbands and fathers. Mothers destroy sons. His mother can speak to him in certain ways that destroy him in ways that can never be repaired.
You said you dated men who came from single mothers, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you also date men who came from...
Both. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so you also... So you dated both.
Yeah, I did.
Was there a difference in the personality and the approach? Was there of how you felt about both, or was it the same?
When I really think about one of the mothers that stood out the most to me, she was my high school sweetheart, and she was just always there for him, even though it was like, you know, they argued a lot and it would weigh a toll on him. She was always there for him, from what I could see. And then there was another relationship I was in where it just seemed like the mom had did some things in the past that was affecting him, like, right now. And so he would go through moments where he wouldn't answer her phone call. And I'm just like, just answer her call. That's your mama, man. She calling. Just answer the call, you know?
Why are you laughing? Been there. Yeah.
And then I finally got a chance to meet her. And it's not like I'm trying to judge her, but I'm just trying to see, like, how can I love your son a certain way? Like, where are the tender spots? How was she talking to him? Like, was he really nurtured? Like, yeah, it's there's a lot that goes into that relationship. If you really want to love your man, or like know how to love him, yeah, it really does.
Was he emotionally more demanding than the guy who came from both parents? That's what I'm like really trying to get at. Like how were their personalities? Where was one more balanced? Was one less balanced? Was there a difference? I know it's, I guess, hard to, you know, to analyze off the top, but I'm just trying to, from your perspective,
I'm trying to think,
because, you know?
Like, far as, like, the black men that I've dated, not many of them came from parents, both parents being in the household. There was a black guy I dated from London. He was African, but he was from London, and both of his parents were in his household. He was, like, very respectful. He had a daughter. Him and his baby mama were not together, but he was always involved with his daughter. He was a gentleman. Mm-hmm. We always had a good time. He was very respectful. He didn't really play any games with me.
What happened?
I was just like, I was in my free.
Great.
Yeah, I was just in my like free phase. I had just kind of got to LA and I just wanted to explore life and see what was going on. But he was amazing.
Whore face.
he was amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, he was amazing. And we're actually still in contact. He's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Don Ray?
Yeah, nah. Yeah. Yeah, that I resonate with that. I grew up in like a single parent home.
Mom or dad?
My mom. My dad was around. He was there, but he had his own personal struggles. He was battling with, let's say. So he wasn't around so often. But I actually watched that episode when that came on. It was funny because my mom was big into like, not us going to therapy, but like us watching stuff. And it started during the conversation. I'm like, hey, you know what? I think I might have some resentment towards you. Mm-hmm. So like, I understand you did the best you could and you said that, but like, as a result of you doing that, like you did that, but this happened as a result of that. And because that happened, this happened. And now I feel like this. And that's cool. So instead of us going to therapy, we'd watch shows like this and she'd program them. So man, we didn't talk for a week after this episode right there, bro.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's pretty much, I forget like what the words were that she said, but how she's some sort of manipulator then flips it back on, that's textbook.
A provocative manipulator, I mean, if she said.
Yeah, and so like I didn't have the emotional discipline or like the tools that I have now to be able to like stand in that space, hold like a respectful frame, and then just be able to hold my tongue as a hurt person, right?
Yeah.
And that in that regard, I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? You know, when somebody's supposed to nurture you in those regards, you know, a lot of us grow up with tough love because we're raised with parents that are in survival mode and they don't know what survival mode is or what that is.
And they were raised in the same way, so and people only do what they know.
Like the movie Fences and, you know, Denzel Washington, right, the movie that helped. There's so many levels to, like, what's going on to where we're just now having platforms where men and women are having open dialogue about different dynamics, about stuff like that. Even you, talking about your testimony, the example you had of a two-parent household was a gentleman that was out of the country.
Right.
That's not even something that most of us are used to being around.
Right.
You know, it's just it's just so
non-American.
Non-American.
Which is crazy.
Right.
I'm from the hood, so the guys that I dated, they were from the hood too, like, at that time. Yeah. Once I got older, I was able to choose
differentiate. And then, once you but to back to that, like, so once I held her accountable for the things, and it wasn't like I was blaming her, it just ended up her being very sensitive in the space of like her defending her decisions. And I very calmly would say, hey, I don't need you to defend your decisions. I'm just saying those decisions you made, us going to that school, me being one of the few people of this ethnic background in that space, created these type of dynamics for me later on. And, you know, when I don't want to do all this, that's a result of this and that. I just don't want to burden you with these things. And when you say this, that, and the third, nobody ever in their world would say that to me. I don't care what Jody, whatever, Wisman Duty, whoever says about me, but you're my mom, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, damn, it must be true for real.
Yeah.
Even if I know it's not. And then there's the internal warfare and then the projecting, the hyper masculinity, the walking around with your chip on your shoulder, all that stuff. Like how you were saying, like, shout out to the sister here that's
Damo.
Shout out to Damo here who's educated enough or versed enough to know that, like, there's a difference between loving someone and knowing how your person needs to be loved, how they perceive love, how they receive love. There's so many young women and so many men and women that don't or are unaware of the way that they feel loved isn't the way that their partner might feel loved. Like if I do all the chores, do all the masculine things, do this, pay the bills, do da 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 da, buy the roses, but you don't say thank you, I might not feel loved.
Right.
When you're saying showing up and making sure the food is there and the clothes are pressed and picking up the cleaners, that's so I think that's a communication and a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so shout out to you for that. But yeah, that's my testimony on that. Me and my mother are super good now.
Shout out to mom.
Yeah, love her. Love her. She did the best she could, doing the best she could. And I lost my father at 16, man.
I'm
sorry,
brother.
Yeah, bro, it's been really, really, it was. She did the best she could, and man, I'm I'm super, super, super grateful for her. And everything that you guys are going to be seeing from me, I couldn't have been without her. So shout out to her.
Shout out moms.
Shout out to
in the
moms.
Building.
I think that's so good. That's
you want me to go? Yeah. You got something? Talk to me, Mr. Raquel.
So I'll keep it short and sweet, or at least try to. I don't have that motherly experience when it comes to my upbringing. So the video speaks to me, but only in reference to what I've seen other people deal with in their parents. Or their mom, given the example provided. I was raised by my grandparents, so technically, yes, a two-parent home. But after my grandmother passed in maybe 20 years.
Sorry to hear about your grandma.
Thank you. Shout out Magnolia.
Magnolia.
My granny. This was my grandmother on my dad's side. And after she passed, my grandmother on my mom's side, she really did step up and step in. But honestly,
how old were you?
I was 14, 15, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
But since then, I really haven't had the opportunity to be raised. So it was like everything that my grandmother instilled in me at that time, I've had to live with, grow with, and develop it, in a way on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's a bit tough for me to really
relate.
Relate, if
okay.
you will,
yeah.
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
To that point, like you said, you had this guy, his mom would call, and you like just pick up the phone. Sometimes I go months without talking to my mom, and it's because of the things to a certain extent that happened in the past. The both her and my dad not being around, or whatever the case might have been.
Yeah.
That I really wanted at the time. And as I grew up, my thing was I got to protect my peace at all costs.
Mm.
And so yearning for those relationships that did not come into fruition at the time really just set that distance in me, where I am a little bit closed off from not so much the relationships, because my dad and my mom were tight. But
I was about to ask about that.
I'm just a bit distant from them. I'm a lot different from my siblings who seem to be a bit closer. But
how many siblings do you have?
It is six of us.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
And where do you fall?
I am the baby boy.
Ah.
Yes. All six of us have the same mother and father. My brother.
Shout out to moms and dads.
Now for real.
Come on.
For real.
I said that wrong.
Oh, no.
All six of us have the same dad.
Hey, now for real. Shout out to pops.
Shout out pops.
Shout out to pops, though. You know what I'm saying?
Abby, of course.
And myself and my older brothers, we all share the same mom. All three girls have different moms. But we're all tied. I just met my older sister back in 2020, so that was pretty cool. So now all six of us know each other.
That's cool.
And
that's awesome.
But yeah, it's just like I said, from that distance, it's sometimes a bit hard for me to connect with my parents, or really give a damn sometimes about what they might have to say.
Yeah.
Be like, you know, whatever it takes to protect my peace. But shout out to my parents. I love them. And in some crazy way, whatever they did definitely helped me along the way.
Nah, for sure.
We talked about this last episode, Beast and I. Shout out, Beast. Parents are everything.
Yeah.
But specifically about the mothers, my mom, like, I love her. My mom is a great mother. Let's clean this up before we get dirty. Great mother, caring, made sure I had everything.
Yeah.
Like, I had a stuttering problem, and she got me the coaching and just made sure, her and pops, but she made for sure.
Yeah.
She was the one who, like, you know, was who set everything up. I think pops paid, but no, they both had money. But she made sure everything was like, she loved the hell out of me, out of all of us. Mother, when I was scared of the dark, I grew up in the 90s, and I was the youngest of four, and I started watching movies with my older siblings.
yeah.
And I'm the eldest one is 5 years older, is 5 years older than me. So, like, we're tight. It's like me, my sister, after 2 years, My other sister after 2 years, and then my brother. So it was like they had four babies in 5 years. They were, they weren't having sex.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but,
nah.
So I just remember, oh yeah, watching movies, and that spirit, man, that the spirit is real, and I was, and I'm still very sensitive to energies and spirits. So like, but. Besides the point, the Friday the 13th, the Freddy Krueger's, the leprechauns, those were scary to me. And I would begin to see things in my sleep or when I was up, and it really fucked me up. So my mom, I said all that to say, I mean, because it was happening, like it happened like three nights in a row. It was crazy. Like one night I saw this leprechaun man.
Shit.
Looking for jump shillings?
On. No, no. So like. I was laying in between my mom and my dad. It was like 3-4 in the morning. I'm like 4, I think. 4 maybe. 3-4. And I'm just up, you know? Yeah. And I'm staring at the bathroom door. And it's dark, you know?
Right.
It's dark. It's just dark, but I'm just up.
Shit, no.
I remember I'm up. It's all dark and I'm up. And I look away. And then I look to the door, nothing there. Mm-hmm. I look away. I look to the door. There's a little green fucking leprechaun,
oh,
man.
Shit, man.
Like faceless, you know.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
like I'm fucking stoned because it wasn't there before.
Yeah,
that
nah.
shit was not there, bro.
Yeah.
And it's there. I remember, nigga. I'm 41, man. And
crazy.
I looked at it, and it kept just, and it was just motionless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like about as far as that table right there. Right?
That's too close.
Just like motionless.
That's too close.
That's too close.
Exactly.
That's too close.
And then out the blue, it bolted to the fucking bed.
Oh, no.
Jumped. And then that's when my dad was right here. I said, no! They fucking got up. I was like, it's right there. It's right there. It's right there.
Not that it ran.
He get up and goddamn. He gets
jumped
up.
In the bed,
he goes to the door.
He jumped in the bed, yeah.
He fucking.
Wait a minute.
Nothing's fucking there.
Damn.
The next night, I'm sleeping with my brother. Because I guess I'll admit, nigga, get his ass out of bed.
Yeah, he can't hear. He don't know how to act.
But I was sleeping with my brother up again. Up again. Just up again. And out the blue, I just see a... So I'm laying with my head to one end of the bed, and my brother's laying his head to the other end of the bed,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I see by my brother's feet, which is my eye view,
mm-hmm.
out the blue, I see something bloody, like a bloody piece of meat.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. They come in the room. So I said all that to say. I was being attacked by something, you know. I'm a preacher's kid, so I was being attacked by something. No, this was before Freddie and Jason. I was 3-4. I don't know what was going on. So, but I do remember my mom and my father sitting me down and reading the Psalms.
Mm.
Like, we were really deep into the Bible. But they I remember that because I was afraid of the dark now, you know. After three nights of this shit, I'm afraid to fucking go to fucking sleep.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to go any type of dark, anything. Why? Because I'm gonna see some shit.
Apparitions.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was like, come on, man. Like I was kind of tormented. I was like, fuck. I was afraid of the dark.
Right.
I was afraid of the dark for like 6 years, for a long time. But I remember them sitting me down and reading the Psalms and me reading the Psalms, and there's real power in the words and the belief and the faith,
yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And that's my backbone. Not to this day, but I read Psalms every day.
That's awesome.
Psalms 91, all of Psalms of 91, and Psalms 92, 6, and 7. I remember that one. The stupid man cannot know. Yes, the stupid man cannot know. And the foolish man cannot understand this. That though wicked sprout like grass and all evil doers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever.
Mm.
So I read that one and all of Psalms 91, which I got it like halfway memorized. But yeah, it's my covering, it's my protection, it's my prayer, it's my backbone.
That's fantastic.
But again, I got that from who? Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know? For sure.
Strength. So I said all that to say, great mom, right?
Oh, shit.
So I said all that to say, Mama, she, like, with all the things that she's fantastic at, she's not very, when you need her, she's there for everything, but she's not very, I wouldn't say Mama's very
emotionally
nurturing.
Available. Emotionally available. Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't think I needed it. You really don't until something happens. They say something and it affected the shit out of you.
Man.
Like, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize. Like, oh, fuck. One situation, I just graduated college. I found a job immediately in Maine. I went to Georgia Southern University, Statesboro, Georgia. And I found a job in Maine. I was an outside door facilitator. Live, work. I had a cabin, my own cabin. I live by the lake. And then I'm going to fucking Maine. Hey, I've never been anywhere, you dick.
Yeah, you chilling.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I'm like, shit, chilling. Let's go to fucking Maine.
Chilling, especially out of the borough. Shouts out to the Bunnies in the borough. Oh. And Ebony's in the borough. Oh. Yeah, we're going to leave that alone.
So, yes, that's the situation. Just graduated. I'm like elated because I spent like 7 years in college, three schools. I fucking hated it, but... I got it done. But besides the point, just finished Maine. Who I'm calling Mama for the good news.
Oh, no.
It wasn't received how I expected it to be received.
Mm. Man, bro.
And it affected me. I cried.
Cause you
just, I was like, yo, Mom, I just graduated. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. I got a job in Maine. Whoop. And she was like, why are you going all the way up there?
Yo, man.
I was like in my head, like, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
My mama says, all right now.
I know.
Same thing, bro. Real life. Real time, bro.
No, but like, but we talked. We've gotten a lot better. We've talked about that situation. And I lost my father in 2006, which is 2 years after I graduated. I mean, before I graduated. And man, my mom and my father, like, we were a damn unit, you know. We were a unit, you know. Mm-hmm. And the only man I think she ever really, really knew. Married out of college, 23, he was 35, and had four kids before she was 30. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, it was just us. Like it's been, that's been
her life, yeah.
She went to college, she had, you know what I'm saying, found pops and had babies. Aww. So that's all, like, that's so, and so outside of that, my mom's the best person I've ever met. Oh, my, her and pops, the best people I've ever fucking met. Like, I am them because, oh, man, just the best people. And I judge everybody from them. You dig?
Man.
So, like, they're the most consistent and the most disciplined people I've ever met. You dig? So I judge everybody from them. So, like, you can't bullshit me.
Yeah, nah, straight
like,
up.
Not even a little
not
bit.
Not even a little bit.
You can't, like, not even a fucking little
nah,
bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
Especially now, nigga. You
yeah,
dig?
Yeah, yeah, nah.
Like,
with all the seasoning on it.
My nigga, you can't bullshit. So, thank you for that because in this life, they will try to pull the wool over your motherfucking eyes.
And make you think you crazy, too.
Right.
You dig?
And you are not crazy, bro. You are not crazy.
Shout out to mom, dad for like, I'm a, like, you can't fool me. Mm-hmm. Like, you're fooling yourself. You dig?
Definitely.
Talk to me.
Shout out to my dad for telling me that, like, people gonna respect you for keeping it thorough. And a real man ain't never afraid to tell a room full of people what he gotta do for his lady. Aww. I gotta be on time for my lady. I have to excuse myself.
Appreciate you, brother.
She stayed an hour later so that I could be here. She was here in spirit. She was somebody I talked to about this because I was nervous about speaking. Shout out to my baby Jasmine. I'm on the way to get you. I look forward to possibly doing this again. I'm always available. I would love.
Nice
great to meet you.
Yeah.
Great to meet you. You know what I mean? Look forward to eating some of your food. Look forward to eating some of your food sonically.
Good job, brother.
Can I
absolutely.
Can I check him out. Check him out. Lunch table. Yee. Hold on, let me get it together. Where we at with
there
it.
We go.
Right, you know what? I'll back up. Hold on. Let me zoom out.
Here we go.
Boom. There we go.
Get you some merch.
JCTV.com. Hit that link tree.
Hey, the stuff
down. Ooh.
To put a button on the mother story, we talked about it. My father passed in 2006. I graduated in 2008. I was leaving, like, and in her eyes, wow, you know, you're going so far away from me. Mm-hmm. And I just lost, like, I just lost the love of my everything. Mm-hmm. And she just wasn't very fond of me really leaving. So that's how that came out. And, you know, us having that conversation, I was like, I mean, just, you know, it's so important to talk, man. You know?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
It's so important to talk, you know, because now I was like, you just, it's so understandable, you know? You know? And then you grow up, you mature, and just so many things aligned. But, like, it's just, it's so important to talk, you know, and express how one was feeling. Because I never thought about that, my selfish ass. I never thought about that, you know? Like, not at all, you know? And after hearing that, that really made me like, well, yo, I need to step back a little bit, you know? I need to reevaluate what's important. And it's not about me. Like,
I was just about, I was literally about to say, it's not, I've been saying this to myself and recently and also other people, like, it's not always about you. Given a person's reaction, response, or whatever you might be dealing with when it comes to somebody else, like how, you know, they react to it might not have anything to do with you, or the lack of a reaction.
Yes.
So it might not have anything to do with you. So, like you said, having that conversation, having that area for clarity and transparency is definitely important to continue that communication.
Yeah, I mean, it's key because, like, now I feel like I understand her more, and like my love has grown even more so, you know. I don't know, it's just it's so important to talk, you know. And I never really had one of those talks with her before, so there was, it's just it, and now we talk a lot more, you know, and have a great have a good relationship with my mom. Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you wish you could have done it sooner? And
no.
So this
everything
is a good
has
time
its,
right
everything,
now.
Everything has its season and time. Yeah. So. I'm like, I'm there now. Like, man, I wish, no.
Well,
this is
good.
Not a movie. I don't want a genie. What's going to happen is going to happen in its time, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
Are Caucasians?
You said what?
Are Caucasians?
Okay. I was like, wait, I was like, did we miss the
I know. I was good. I got weird, but I'm playing. But we have some fucking fun. You got your.
Wait for it.
Y'all niggas were like, this is crazy. Oh, I'm just playing. No, but listen. I ain't gonna have as much time to talk about this, but are Caucasians? Qualified to adequately raise an African American boy or girl in the United States? Are Caucasians, are white people, are they qualified to adequately raise an African American in the United States?
You know, it's so interesting that you asked that question. I recently met a guy who was adopted by a white couple. He's in his 40s, I want to say. He seems like he's very respectful, he's very nice, always looking out. I just wonder, like, did he get that black experience, that black education? Did they teach him how to oil a scalp? Or if you get scars, you use this instead of this so you don't keloid. Like, you know, just like black little insights on how to take care of yourself and self-care. So anytime I hang out with him, I try to just give him some little tips, bits on, like, black self-care, because I don't know if he got that.
Dropping gems.
Yeah.
Does he be ashy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh my God.
And I guess it sounds like all the things you said, he doesn't do well. The hair is nappy. he doesn't put grease in it. He doesn't comb it right.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying. I'm not talking about your boy.
We didn't say no names. It was fine. But that's that's what I assume.
You said so brought up the, you know, greasing of the scalp. Yeah. I'm like, you must not be doing
that. No, yeah. You must not be doing that.
Not be doing that.
No, I was just saying, like, I don't think they know to, like, just start parting our hair and, like, grease
it. Yeah. Like, yeah, just all of the things that you can only know if you are in the sauce.
Yeah.
Your thought, buddy?
It's pretty loaded. But
it is.
But in the short... I'm going to say possibly. Okay. Only because, like, who is adequately qualified to be a parent in the first place?
Amen.
To any child.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't want to diminish what experiences a white person or a Caucasian person can bring to having a black child to upbring.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do think that there will be gaps. And at the same time, like I said, I feel like it'll be gaps in any parental child relationship, whether you black, blue, white, or what have you. If you have an interracial family, there are a lot of nuances that come with that, you know, where mm-hmm. one side wants to nurture their experience more than the other, and then there's conflict with that. So it really, honestly, I guess to sum it up, depends on the person, regardless of who they're raising, and how immersed they want to be in keeping that child as close to their roots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking about the adopted experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep that child as close to their roots as possible. If you adopt a child from China, are you going to, you know, make sure that they're immersed in, you know, certain experiences that are linked to their roots?
Right.
And I think that's really what the importance would be around just anybody being able to adequately raise a child.
You said something. Damn it. I was good for letting you finish, but I forgot my question. You mentioned about who's adequately ready to raise a child. And you're absolutely right about that, you know, especially because babies are white, black, yellow, green. That is mm-hmm. something that's an experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But even like within that, I've posed this question and I've really pondered about this. And what I've observed, I don't believe so. Can they love that child? Absolutely. Can they show that child how to love and how to be kind and respectful? Absolutely.
Yes.
Can they show that child unconditional love? Absolutely. I'm not saying that Caucasians, Asians, Indians, whomever, can't show love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I don't believe, especially in the United States, that a Caucasian man or woman can adequately raise a African-American boy because of this. Yes, sir.
Would that be regardless of what their own experience might be? Because you have some white people that come from historically black communities, and the black experience, quote unquote, is all they know. So would that in turn change what that experience might be look like for them raising a black child?
See, my thing is this. Great question. But will they ask? Will that white parent to that black child give them the really nitty gritty about who they are and where they come from? Would a white father tell his black son, hey, yo, listen, you got to be, it's unfair for you. Mm-hmm. You can't just be as good as them. I know you're just as good as them, but you can't just be as good as them. Because of how it's set up, you got to be two times better than them just to get that number one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Will that white father tell, give that advice to that black child at 7, at 8?
If not sooner.
If not sooner. Will that white mom and dad coach them up on some of the atrocities that their ancestors, not them, but their ancestors, just the history of the black experience, will they give that education, like that real education? Because I got it. They told me what it was. I heard it, but I didn't begin experiencing it until 12. And I was like, oh, they right. Mm-hmm. Oh, they right about them. Ooh, they right about them. Mm-hmm. Ooh, my, that nigga was right. Ooh, they are right. It hurts, but it wasn't out the blue. It's like, yo, I was told this. You know what I'm saying? I was told to watch out for this. Mm-hmm. I was told, I learned about, let's go here. Are they gonna talk about systemic racism and redlining? Are they gonna talk about the Jim Crow laws? Are they gonna talk about the medical exploitation of black bodies? Like, are they gonna talk about, yo, listen, this is your history, bro.
Yeah, because like honestly, you come from an education background, and they're making the teachers not talk about slavery. They're taking it out of education, so it has to be taught at home. Otherwise, we'll have a generation of kids who never even knew that it existed.
And they're doing a lot of that, yeah. Just rewriting history, you know.
Yeah.
And my question was that because I got my father told me everything to look out for.
Right.
He told me everything. He said about the, it was what it was. Yo, these people, listen, it's like this. Mm-hmm. He saw it in me at 8. I had a best friend named Jimmy, white boy. Mm-hmm. And I'm just fucking young and naive and just full of love. And he saw me just all up Jimmy ass, bro. Like, oh, Jim, and he was like, hey, yo, man. Hey, listen, it's different from you and him. It's different. Mm-hmm. Like, how the world is going to treat him, it's going to be different from how they treat you. And you need to just
be mindful of that.
Be mindful of that and kind of, because he saw me all up Jimmy ass. Mm.
Well, that's powerful because not everybody gets
that. And then, guess what? I heard it, but I was like, I didn't take to none of that. I was like, I love Jimmy. No, fuck that. It ain't different. My dumb ass, you know? Just naive. Yeah. But as you get older, life will show you. Yeah, it is different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just being told that before I even understand it. Are you going to give them the ins and outs? I don't think so.
And something that you thought was faded in the background resonated with you that fast when whatever experience or scenario had happened.
Pops. You know what I'm saying? No, he said he told me what was going to happen in my life before it fucking happened. Mm-hmm. Are they going to do that? Or are they just going to paint a picture in front of, and I don't believe, just the way they raise their white boys, I mean, their white boys and the white girls, I don't think so. Because of the messaging. I'm looking at it. Mm. Your intent is displayed through your behavior.
Yeah.
So are they educated on this? No. So I don't think so. Because the evidence is in the pudding. Because I don't see an assload of fucking white folk beating this down. Mm-mm. You know? No. So I don't think so. And then another thing I'm really passionate about, I'm sorry, is they be putting dresses on our black boys. That's fucking weird.
Well, Cat Williams talked about that in the beginning of the year with Shannon Sharp.
I can't believe that was the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like I just watched it.
Wow.
Yeah,
it wasn't
did.
Like January, February.
That was like February, yeah. It's almost another February.
How they always want to feminize the black man. Mm-hmm. And
but it's even worse now. I'm seeing it like Charlize Theron. I love her. She's a great actress. I don't love her. She's a good actress. Mm-hmm. But she's done one of those deals.
The BBL?
No, she fucking adopted a black boy, and now he's dressing as a white girl.
You know, a lot of there's Angelina Jolie, there's Madonna. A lot of these celebrities are doing it.
It's evil.
It is because Madonna.
It's evil.
I saw Madonna hooked up. She had her and her daughter hooked up to IVs, and she was getting a blood transfusion from her daughter. because they know how good the melanin is. They know how rich our blood is or whatever. So I think they're kind of doing some sick stuff with these black babies, whether if it's blood transfusion, trying to get melanin on the celebrity level. I don't know about like the common American working citizen level, but on a celebrity level, they're doing some weird shit with those black kids.
It's weird. If you saw a black couple with a white 5-year-old boy and he's got lace front and a BBL and long eyelashes and heels, they'd be like, what the fuck is going on over there?
What the fuck
is that? Why do you have Brian in a lace front and a skirt? What the fuck are they doing?
Right.
Why do they have long nails on that white? What are they doing?
Right.
That's what it is. And people just skipping around like nothing. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Get that black boy out that motherfucking dress. Get that glitter. What the fuck?
What?
Yeah. Man, that's the same. That's the same thing. A black couple with a white boy named Brian, and he's got a lace front on. Dress him up like a black girl. Why are white couples or white women dressing black boys up like white girls? What the fuck?
That's wild, honey.
That's wild.
For real.
That's like that part, man. No one's irate about this. Get that boy out that motherfucking skirt. This is wild, bro. So that's what I'm passionate about. Because if you saw a Hispanic couple with an Asian boy dressing up like a goddamn Hispanic girl, you're like, what the fuck is this? What are you guys doing over here?
Yeah, what is this?
no one says nothing with us, nigga. Get the fuck out of here. I'm irate I'm on 100 on all of it. I despise it. It's perverted. These are our people. Fuck you. It's not cool. I'm sorry. I get excited. I'm like fucking Alex Jones in this bitch. but that's my, like, I draw a line in the sand on some things, my friends. Mm-hmm. All right? Like, and this is, and I draw the line in the sand on a lot of things. That's why, like, I am who I am. There's something I just, you are or you aren't. I don't fuck around with this. Don't fuck around with that. Like this, that is so not cool. It is perverted. And who does that serve? Who does that serve? At the end of the day, who does that serve at the end of the day? How does that help him?
Yeah, it does not.
You know?
Yeah, it does not help him at all.
It's not real. It's a facade. It's evil. It's perverted.
Even with the little cartoons that they have for the kids, a lot of the characters are not even identifying as she
or
he.
They don't have any.
They're really trying to affect the minds of the youth when it comes to their sexual identity. And
as if, like, sex doesn't exist. Like gender, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, right.
That, like, literally does not exist. It doesn't.
As in, like,
you're
how
just did, a person. You're, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
How did the fuck you get here?
Yeah.
A dick went inside a vagina, and shit happened. Mm-hmm. So you can't say like, how did you get here? It's crazy. But that's a whole nother topic right there. It's just the messaging, you know. Even at that young age, you know, maybe it's always been this bad of messaging, and I'm just older now, and I can see all of it. I think that's what it is, but I am fucking out of control. Like I am, like, what is going on? This is a circus. I'm a '90s, born in '83, really grew up in the '90s. This is a circus.
Yeah.
Like everyone's just lying. Everybody's just lying. And everyone's going with the flow. This is crazy. They got black boys in goddamn high heels and skirts and shit on the street. They got white people walking around with little black boys in dresses.
What?
And it's okay. And what the fuck is going on? No, it's just him. You know, he's just exploring. Get the fuck out of here. Get that motherfucker out that goddamn dress.
I told you that. For real.
Get that shit out that dress.
Yeah, because then there's parents that let the kids be free and, like, wear whatever they want to wear, you know? But then there's
I'm sorry, go ahead, love you.
But then there's also, like, perverted parents, I guess. Because, like, what the fuck is that?
That doesn't help nobody.
So okay.
Doesn't help us.
So how do y'all feel about Dwayne Wade's son that became a woman?
The same way. Disgusted. Yeah. Abomination. Shame on them. Shame on them. Shame on Gabrielle. Shame. Ding, 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 ding. Shame.
Because they're really supporting it.
Yeah. Shame.
Yeah.
Shame. I don't support that.
Mm-hmm. And they've been supporting that since they were a child, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe Gabrielle fucking brought that shit in, and he just went with it. And, I mean, listen, man, what are you doing in the home? Look, fathers are important, man. Like, kids, we come into this world dumb, not knowing. Like, it's up to the parent to mold that. To bat that down. Nope, we're not going there. We're not going there. Mm-hmm. You just don't let the fucking child do whatever the fuck he wants.
Mm-hmm. There has to be some guidance, some molding that goes into that as well.
Accountability, and guidance.
And some redirection.
Redirection.
For sure.
I don't know. It's, I came from old school parents. Go ahead.
I was raised by grandparents. You feel me?
How old are they now?
My grandfather is 81, 79, something like that, between 79 and 81.
Yes.
And my grandmother, who's still living, she is 74, 75, something like that.
My father, if he was still alive, he'd be 81. No, 83. Mm-hmm. And my mom is... which is, she's still alive. She's 30. I'm sorry.
Wait, what the fuck,
nigga?
We're 30.
Well, what are you talking, nigga? You out of control. No, 71.
Okay.
And, wow. And sounds like she's like she got that. She doesn't have the old voice. That, hey, baby. Why don't you call me?
The shivers.
None of that. She sound like mama from when I was a kid.
Wow.
She's extremely fucking healthy. She doesn't do anything, as in no drinking, no smoking. She's actually never really done it. I think you done had some wine before, mama. Don't be lying. I know you done had some wine before, mama. I know you had some wine.
A little wine.
No, but like, they were just amazing. I forgot what I was talking about. Help me out.
The question was.
I was calming down. I think on the topic. No, or was there another question there? I totally forgot.
I don't guess I was gonna say something too. We were.
You know what? After my tangent, though, can I rephrase the question? Not rephrase, but re-ask the question.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll make it easy. On a scale to 1 to 10.
I think that's a little harder.
On a scale to 1 to 10, how adequate do you feel Caucasians are suited to raise an African American boy or girl in the United States of America?
Okay. I won't use the scale. But I will say
that nigga said, hey, fuck your scale, boy.
Right?
I'm gonna do it how I'm gonna do it.
I would say no, respect. This. I think in the initial part of the conversation, I was coming from a place of, like I said, possibly of, you know, somebody can love it. You know, somebody would definitely love a child and, teach them things. But to the points that you made, kind of making it clear on, you know, really what you were getting at the core of the question, definitely would say no, because there are a lot of those... fine-tuning, if you will, experiences that they just, rightfully so, won't be able to teach, speak to, or anything like that.
Or just won't say, bro.
Or just won't say. Even when that black child goes through a black experience, say, at school, how will they, explain combat or, you know, what have you when it comes to that?
He called me a nigger, mom.
You know what I mean? Right. What
how you gonna have that? What that conversation look like? Rebecca?
So no. And if I use the scale, that's why I said it'd be zero.
Gotcha. So, respect.
So definitely understanding the question better and really getting to the core of what you were asking, it's a no. But again, it takes some cold people, some dope people to really be parents.
Yeah, in general, just in general,
give them
My face.
You know, whatever they can, they can. Yeah. So I think that's the piece that I didn't want to diminish, you know, having that type of experience.
Correct. Yes. Again, just to reiterate, we're not saying that they can't love the child.
Absolutely.
They can't unconditionally, we're not saying they cannot unconditionally love the child. It's just that the ins and the outs, like the fine print. Do they know the fine print? Or even if they know the fine print, are they going to tell them? I don't think so, you know?
Can you ask me the question one more time?
I'm sorry. I thought you had, No, I was about to close that one out. Yes, question. Are Caucasians?
I mean, there's a lot of technology.
Are they suited to raise African Americans in the United States?
Some crazy times we're living in, y'all. I would say maybe like on the scale, like a 3 out of 10.
Okay, she's doing the scale. Okay, 30%. That is an extra F. But you put 30%. Okay, what is that 30%?
That's an F. Right?
No. Like what? What is the substance? What is that 30? What does that look like?
They
what is that
30%? Just probably teach them how to be a free spirit and how to go after things and not have so many fears because they have that experience. They have that white privilege experience, so they can kind of teach them just how to be less. They probably won't bring their deeply rooted generational traumas upon them. Like that's what we kind of experience within the black household, you know. For example, my grandparents' parents were slaves, you know. So that's passed on to us, and they whenever we go outside or whenever we're about to get dressed, they always be like, well, be safe, be careful, because this and that happened. So I think they will have more of a like experiencing like being like a fairy, you know, and kind of going out there and having more wings and less traumatics until they have a traumatic experience because they're black and they're like, all right, what do I do?
Who do I go to?
How do I navigate this?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Very passionate about that topic, and I appreciate you allowing me to rant, and I hope I didn't scare you at some point.
It was giving Nino Brown.
Was it Nino Brown?
Yeah.
Well, shit, goddamn, Wes is a motherfucker. Goddamn, shout out to New Jack and his bitch.
On my mama. Alrighty, I am Sean Raquel Rocks. You can find me on social media at SEANROCKEL, Sean Raquel, on all social media. I am a singer, creative, vocalist, writer, educator. You name it. Marketer, a tech pro.
Yeah.
You name it, I probably do it or dabble in it. This was a great experience. My first podcasting experience, so I'm happy to have this opportunity to be with the lovely Dom and JC. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to you know, kind of diving into this if you'll have me again. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Most definitely, brother. Most definitely. Damo!
Plugging you into the city. This is Damo in the city. Keep up with me for any of my upcoming events, for private chefing. I think I'm going to be doing like deep dish delicacies. I can make them vegan or like a traditional soul food recipe. If you have a dairy allergy, a gluten-free allergy, I got you. I can do gluten-free fried chicken. You eat everything? Yes, I can get y'all hooked up for Christmas, for New Year's. I'm posting the menus this week. And then that's going to be for Domalicious Soul Food Views. And keep up with me on Domo in the City, all platforms.
People meeting people, making memories. JCTV, The Lunch Table Podcast, ATX. Thanks for tuning in. Every new shows, every Mondays at 10. I hope I am who I am. I was really passionate. This show, if this is your first show listening to this, listening to me, this is kind of how I am. But I believe in what I believe in. I'm about righteousness, and I'm about reciprocity and fairness and love. And when I see something evil, I was taught to shame the devil, you know, and I do that. There he is. That's bad. You know, and I don't tiptoe around these issues that I feel a lot of people are. Evil is evil. Shame it, you know? Because just I am who I am. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I was about to talk even more. Shut the fuck up, boy, and close out. Shop, share, subscribe, follow, hit that link tree. Thank you, Damo. Thank you, Sean Raquel. We out. Bing, bing, bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing, bing, bing, bing, bing.
Shout out Chicago,
Sean.
Harvey World. Thank y'all.
Mo City.
Mm-hmm. People meeting people, people meeting people, hey, people meeting people, making memories.